those feasts a little bit this morning. He gave them three feasts and a number of special days, the new moon, and anyway, different things to celebrate. But there was the Feast of the Passover, the Feast of Pentecost, and the Feast of Tabernacles. That was the three chief feasts that the Lord gave. We remember, do we not, the Israelites when they were in the land of Egypt? You remember that story? Children, do you remember when Israel were slaves in Egypt? You remember the story of what their life was like when they were in Egypt and they were slaves, weren't they? And they were badly treated slaves at that. And they were forced to make bricks. And when they said, we don't have enough straw, and anyway, they wanted a little relief, and they got even more work, didn't they? More beatings, more of that. You know, this morning, those were times that was difficult in Israel's history. Israel was not really a nation at that time. They were descendants of Abraham, but they weren't really a nation. They were just a people that had moved when Joseph was ruler right under Pharaoh, and the famine was on, and the descendants of Abraham, we find Jacob and his 12 sons and all that they had, they moved down to Egypt in the land of Goshen, didn't they? And they began to prosper there, and they began to increase. And they began to increase so much that Pharaoh decided their boys, their men needed to stop reproducing. And he told his midwives, he said, you kill them. And then after that, he said, you throw them in the river, all the boy babies. And so we find the history of Israel beginning there, somewhat beginning there. And we find the many troubles that they had. And then the Lord looked on them, didn't he? And there was a servant named Moses. And Moses went into the desert for 40 years, didn't he? He was raised, he was one of those babies that should have been killed, but he wasn't killed, was he? And so Pharaoh's daughter took him in and raised him. And after so many years, he fled because of something he did. He fled to the land of Midian, didn't he? And there he was just a herder for 40 years. But God was preparing Moses all that time. And when he came back, he told God met him one day in the desert. And we find that Moses was walking along and suddenly he noticed a bush was burning. Well, you know, probably in the desert, that wasn't the most odd thing ever, but the bush didn't burn up. That was odd. So he came over to see what was going on, and God spoke to him out of the burning bush, didn't he? And he told him, take off your shoes, Moses. The spot you're standing on is holy ground. And he began to deal with Moses and tell him, I want you to go back, and I want you to be instrumental in delivering my people out of the hand of Pharaoh. And so Moses, we all know the story. He was very, Lord, surely somebody else can talk better than me. I don't think I'm the man to say those things. And so the Lord was displeased with Moses, wasn't he? But Moses at length went, and the Lord told him, what's that in your hand? Oh, it's a rod. Throw it on the ground. It became a snake. He said, when you go see Pharaoh, you do that. And he did that, didn't he? And the Lord worked wonders through him. And Aaron was his mouthpiece, which was a poor fix for Moses not obeying the Lord 100% there. But, you know, we see that the Lord began through that to deliver his people. And from all their oppressions and all their... He was looking on Abraham's posterity and looking to deliver them. And so we know about all the plagues that came upon them. There was 12 plagues, right? And they came on them one after another. And what was the last plague? Does any of your children know what the last plague was? Finally, see, Pharaoh would not let his people go. He would not let the Israelites go to worship the Lord. And so finally, the Lord told Moses, he's going to let you go. And he said, you all get ready. And he's going to let you go after this one. And that night, in the night, every firstborn in the whole land of Egypt, if you were the first child in a household, if you were the first man or woman born in your family, you died that night. If your animal was the firstborn of that mother, it died all through the land of Egypt. And there rose a great cry. And you know, when Pharaoh saw that, he sent word to Moses quickly. You get out of here. You get your stuff and you go. You can go worship the Lord. And so, you know, the Lord wanted the children of Israel to remember that. You know, it wasn't by their hand that they got out of there. It wasn't by their hand that they were able to be delivered. And folks, I just want to say this little thing concerning us today. You know what? It wasn't by our hand that we were delivered either. And you know, we might have tried to do better. We might have tried. But I want to tell you, the thing that delivers us is when the Lord delivers us. That's a mighty thing. When he delivers us from sin. That's a mighty thing in our life, isn't it? And so these people were delivered from the hand of Pharaoh. And they took off. Where to? Up against the Red Sea, where they couldn't get across, where there wasn't anywhere to go. And all of a sudden, Pharaoh had a change of heart. And here he comes with his army, and he's going to do a lot of damage this time. You can see by what he was doing. He's angry. And you know what? He comes up to them, and they come up to the Red Sea. And what did the children of Israel say? Didn't we tell you to leave us back there in Egypt? Didn't we say? And they began already to forget that God had been working for them all along. Already they forgot that God was so real in their lives. And, you know, the God that did all those things, they could have said, what's God going to do now? But they didn't say that, did they? Because they forgot. And, you know, this morning, I want to just look a little bit at what the Lord instituted for them. In Exodus 12 and 1, I just want to look through this chapter a little bit this morning, and we're going to spend some time here, Lord willing. We find that the Lord instituted one of these festivals called the Passover, and he told them that he wanted them to keep this forever. And the Lord spake, verse 1, unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, now this is before they left, but the Lord spake unto them, saying, this month shall be unto you the beginning of months. Isn't that something? This is going to be your beginning. This is going to be the beginning of the year. From here on, you're going to point back to this day. Isn't that something? The Lord wants to do that for us too, doesn't he? He wants us to be able to point back and say, there's where the Lord helped me. There's where the Lord delivered me. And so he said, speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel. Saying, in the 10th day of this month, they shall take to them every man a lamb according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for an house. And so we know the story. They took a lamb, and then it was to be what? A lamb without blemish? One without spot? One that the best that they had? That was what they were supposed to take. Isn't that what Jesus was for us this morning? And so he said, your lamb, verse 5, Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. You shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats, and you shall keep it until the 14th day of the month. Now the 10th day to the 14th day, and the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. And they shall take of the blood and strike it on the two side posts and on the upper door post of the houses wherein they shall eat it. Do you know that the Lord wanted them to remember? And he set forth this institution for centuries to come. That I want you to always, every year, at this time, at the beginning of the months, I want you to remember what I did for you. And you know, he said, I want you to take, Moses was telling him how to do this at the very start. You kill this lamb, and you take the blood, and you take hyssop, and you dip it in that blood, and you put it on the doorpost and across the top of the door called the lintel. And you put it on there. And he said, when the death angel comes, because see, God was going to work a great miracle for them that night. He said, when the death angel comes, the wrath of God was being poured out. Folks, there is an insurance against the wrath of God because it's going to be poured out one day. But do you know that everybody in Egypt that had blood on the sides of their doorpost and across the lintel, their house was passed over? Now, we all know this story, don't we? Children, you know this story, don't you? And so the Lord passed over, his angel passed over their houses, and the Lord called it the Passover. And from that time on, the Lord always wanted them every year to remember that time that I delivered you. And when I put judgment upon the land of Egypt that was keeping you, I passed over you. He wanted them to remember that. And then he said, wherein on the upper doorpost of the houses, wherein they shall eat it. Do you know that they were to eat the lamb too? They were to eat all of it? And if they didn't eat all of it, they were to burn it. You know, we have to do more than just believe in the Lord. He has to be our food. He has to be our meat. He has to be our drink. His blood has to mean something to us. I want to tell you this morning, these are significant things that we don't want to forget, folks. And so, and he said, verse 11, thus shall ye eat it with your loins girded, your shoes on, and your staff in your hand, and ye shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. Something's going to happen. For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. You know, he's the Lord. He's not just anybody. He's not just a god. We didn't carve him up. He said, I'm the Lord. I am that I am, he told Moses. When they want to know who I am, you just tell them, I am that I am. I'm the God of heaven. I'm the God that created everything, including you, and gives you these things. I am the Lord. And he says, and the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where ye are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. And this day shall be unto you for a memorial. And ye shall keep it a feast to the Lord throughout your generations. Ye shall keep it a feast by an ordinance forever. 7 days shall ye eat unleavened bread. Do you know that all these things had meaning? And we're not going to try to go into all these things. But I want to tell you, they were to have houses clean of unleavened bread. It was so much so that Adam Clark says that if a mouse ran across the floor after they were cleaning their house and he had a morsel in his mouth, they started all over because there must not be any leaven. They swept the corners of their houses. You know what, folks? That leaven is something like sin, isn't it? There must not be any sin. We must sweep the corners of our house that it be clean, completely clean. And they said, 7 days, you're going to eat unleavened bread. And then he goes on to say, for whosoever eateth, this is verse 15, and leavened bread from the first day until the seventh day, that soul shall be cut off from Israel. And in the first day, there shall be an holy convocation. You know what a convocation is? It leads to the same word that we use for church. It's a gathering. That's what it is. Look it up. It's just a gathering. And so he says the first day is going to be a holy convocation. And in the seventh day, there shall be an holy convocation, a gathering together. No manner of work shall be done in them, save that which every man must eat, that only may be done of you. And ye shall observe the feast of unleavened bread, for in this selfsame day have I brought your armies out of the land of Egypt. Therefore shall ye observe this day in your generations by an ordinance forever. And in the first month, on the 14th day of the month at even, ye shall eat unleavened bread until the 1 and 20th day of the month at even. 7 days there shall be no leaven found in your houses. For whosoever eateth that which is leavened, even that soul shall be cut off. From the congregation of Israel. That's a likeliness of sin, folks. Whether he be a stranger or born in the land. And so then we read on down, and I already mentioned this, so I may not read all that. But you shall take a bunch of hyssop, verse 22, and dip it in the blood in the basin and strike it. Strike the lintel and the two side posts with the blood that is in the basin, and none of you shall go out at the door of his house until the morning. Folks, the blood has to be applied. We can know about it. We can have it at access. We can hear of it. But I will tell you, until we allow that blood to be applied to our heart and our life by faith, until we seek the Lord and see him do those things for us, folks, we're not ready for the death angel to pass over. So we need that blood to be applied, and that's done by faith. It's done by faith in the Lord this morning. For the Lord, verse 23, will pass through to smite the Egyptians, and when he seeth the blood upon the lintel and on the two side posts, the Lord will pass over the door and will not suffer the destroyer to come in unto your houses to smite you. Okay, so I just wanted to read a little bit there. In verse 26, listen to what this says. And it shall come to pass when your children shall say unto you, what mean ye by this service? That ye shall say, it is the sacrifice of the Lord's Passover, who passed over the houses of the children of Israel in Egypt when he smote the Egyptians and delivered our houses. Do you know this morning, our children are going to be needing and wanting to know, what's this mean? What's this mean? Well, I'll tell you, we want to be able to tell them, it's the blood. It's the blood of Jesus. It's when he passed over, when he looked over my sins, and I had no way to come before him. I had no way to come before God, and no way to ask him for redemption. I didn't have any channel there, but Jesus, the Lamb of God, the spotless one, without sin ever in his life, pure, without blemish, that lamb was slain so we could be saved. You know, the Lord wants us to remember that, doesn't he? And he wants us to pass it on, because folks, so soon we forget. So soon we forget. Those Israelites were not out but a short time until, as we said, they came to the Red Sea. And already they were telling Moses, didn't we tell you we need to just stay back there in Egypt? And they were already looking back. And so the Lord sent a strong east wind, didn't he? And made a path for, I don't know the exact amount, there's varying accounts, but well over a million people, way over a million people, passed through that, maybe a couple million even. There's different accounts. And they passed through that on dry land. And then they looked back, and the Egyptians decided, we're going to go right after them. I don't know what got in their minds to think they wanted to go in after them. But they did, didn't they? And they watched the waves cover those Egyptians. And they saw that. When your children ask you, I want you to tell them what God's done. Folks, so soon we forget about those instances. Do we remember the day that the blood was applied to our heart? Do we remember when Satan came after us as if there's no way for you to get out of this? Ahead you cannot go. Back is to the Satan himself. Do we remember those days? When your children ask you what this means, tell them. Amen. Let's don't forget all his benefits, folks. You know, this morning, they went on. I believe they went 3 days' journey into the wilderness. And what do you think happened? They ran out of water. And what do you think happened? They began to complain. What is this? They began to complain against God again, as if he had not opened the Red Sea, as if he had not sent the death angel, as if he had not sent the 12 plagues so they could be released. And they forgot, didn't they? They forgot. All of a sudden, they totally forgot. And what did they do? The Lord just opened water to them, didn't he? I believe in that instance, actually, the Lord gave fresh water in place of bitter water. But the Lord did that at different times. And so this morning, I just want to encourage us today. Folks, God has done so much for every one of us here. If you have breath in your lungs, you're receiving a lot of benefit from the Lord. If you have received from the Lord salvation, you have much benefits, and probably many things to tell our children about. You know, 1 Corinthians 10 and 9, Paul reminds us, and he says, neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted and were destroyed of serpents, neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured and were destroyed of the destroyer. Now all these things happened unto them for examples. They are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. And so, you know, Paul says they're written down for us so we don't fall into the same quagmire that they fell into. And they angered the Lord. And they came up to the land of Canaan, and they suddenly forgot that God had done all these things for them. And the Lord told them to go in. And they refused, didn't they? Because they forgot this morning. You know, these feasts that the Lord had, he wanted these people to remember the various things that he had done. This is Smith's Bible Dictionary concerning these three feasts, religious. He says there's three things in particular that the Lord wanted them to get out of this. Religious effects. They preserved the religious faith of the nation and religious unity among the people. They constantly reminded the people of the divinely wrought deliverances of the past. Two was political effects. The unity of the nation would be ensured by this fusion of the tribes. Otherwise, they would be likely to constitute separate tribal states. They would carry back to the provinces glowing accounts of the wealth, power, and resources of the country. And third is social effects. They promoted friendly intercourse between traveling companions, distributed information through the country at a time when the transmission of news was slow and imperfect, and imported into remote provincial districts a practical knowledge of all improvements in arts and sciences. That's what Smith had to say. You know, I think about this idea of remembering. And the Lord tells us to keep some things too, doesn't he? He wants us to remember some things. And I want to encourage us this morning. Folks, I know not everyone can go to a place like Monarch. But I want to encourage us that if we can go, to consider it and pray about it. Because these same things, and I've said this many, many times through the years, folks, these things have a profound effect on us and on our families. How many times have you went to meeting and you got realigned, recalibrated, refocused? How many times? I have a number of times, and I'm sure you have if you've lived for the Lord for a while. I want to encourage us today that the Lord is still the Lord. You know, He still wants us to remember. He still wants us to be a partaker. Those things that we enjoy, those religious effects, as Smith calls it, Smith's Bible Dictionary calls it, they constantly reminded the people of the divinely wrought deliverances of the past. Doesn't it do you some good when somebody begins to talk about how the Lord delivered them? Wow. The Lord did that for them? I didn't know they used to do all those things. I didn't know they were smokers and drug addicts. No, I didn't know all that. But you know what? When you find that God can help them, then we know that He can help me too. Is that right? You know, this morning, just a little thought. Let's don't forget all His benefits, folks. They're wonderful and they're many. And the social effects of being together like that, it just does something for us, doesn't it? It defeats the enemy this morning. I want to think for a moment, just a moment, about the Feast of Pentecost. That was another one. You know what that was? 50 days after their deliverance was that law giving on Mount Sinai where Moses received the law. 50 days. Do you know that that's significant when we look at the Lord being crucified and then how many days later was the day of Pentecost? It was the day of Pentecost. That's why they call it Pentecost, because it was the day of Pentecost, named that a long many centuries before. And so on that day, the Lord gave His law and He put His words in our hearts. And we find Peter that had just known about God. He had walked with Jesus, but he didn't have it in his heart altogether. He had a real conversion experience. I believe that. I know that. You can see that. But there was something so greatly needed, and that was for the Lord to write His laws in his heart. And you know, when He did that, Peter's life completely changed, didn't it? Peter started preaching to the same people that he just denied the Lord to. And just a few days before, just 50 days before, he said, "I don't know the man," or 51 days, whatever. "I don't know the man. I'm telling you, I don't know the man." And now he's preaching to them and 3,000 souls get saved. You see the significance? Let's don't forget those times. I remember that very day in my life. It changed me forever. I want to tell you, it changed everything. Folks, we want to remember those things. We want to not forget those things that the Lord has done for us. The Feast of Tabernacles. I'm just going to read a little reading here about that one. It's not too long, but this is in Leviticus 23 and 39 to 44. It says, "Also in the 15th day of the 7th month, when ye have gathered in the fruit of the land, ye shall keep a feast unto the Lord 7 days. On the first day shall be a Sabbath, and on the 8th day shall be a Sabbath. And ye shall take you on the first day the boughs of goodly trees, branches of palm trees, and the boughs of thick trees, and willows of the brook. And ye shall rejoice before the Lord your God 7 days. And you know what they were supposed to do? They were supposed to take those and make little booths and live in those for 7 days. And you know what the Lord was doing? He was jogging their memory back. "I want you to remember. I want you to remember some things." And so, "You shall dwell," verse 42. We'll read it all. 41, "And you shall keep it a feast unto the Lord 7 days in the year." 7 days. This was important to God. "It shall be a statute forever in your generations. Ye shall celebrate it in the 7th month. Ye shall dwell in booths 7 days. All that are Israelites born shall dwell in booths. that your generations may know that I made the children of Israel to dwell in booths when I brought them out of the land of Egypt. I am the Lord your God. And Moses declared unto the children of Israel the feast of the Lord. And so, you know, this morning, let's don't forget, folks. Because it's real easy when we get to the water or to the lack of water to say, where is God? Folks, God is God. I am the Lord. I am the Lord. And so we look now back at Psalms 103. I want to read some in that. I hope somebody gets a little encouragement out of this morning. Because, folks, oh, the Lord's done so much for us. And I mean all of us. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Verse 2, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. And they begin to enumerate some of these benefits. And let's think about it for a minute. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities? Did the Lord forgive all your iniquities? And then did you ever fail him after that? Maybe so. And he forgave you again? And he was an advocate for you before God. He said he forgives all your iniquities. Bless the Lord, O my soul. I don't want to forget this. Who healeth all thy diseases. I want to tell you, it is not because we've never had anything that we're older and alive here today. Because in our family, and I know in other families here too, we have had bad diseases, just like the things that take people out of this world. And I want to tell you, has the Lord not healed you? Has the Lord not done marvelous things? I can recount a whole bunch of times when the Lord did something marvelous for us. Let's tell it to the generation following. Let's tell it to ourselves that we don't forget. Because the Lord has done marvelous things for every single one of us here. I can't hardly say enough about this sometimes. Not because it's a hobby horse to me. It's just been such a wonderful part of my life. Folks, who healeth all thy diseases. I can remember those times when it looked like someone wouldn't make it and the Lord healed. I can see those times when, and they didn't just get well, the Lord healed. I've seen that. I've seen him do that on the spot a bunch of times, folks. You know what? I don't boast in that. I boast that the Lord is the Lord. And he's the Lord for you. The same God is the same God for every one of us. If we will make him the Lord our God. If we will not forget who he is. And decide to tramps backward. Oh, the leeks and the garlics. Oh, they forgot about the little babies, all their grandkids and their kids getting thrown into the river. They forgot about all the troubles and the beatings. Oh, how about the leeks and the garlics? That's a pretty small, pretty small, isn't it? Oh, this morning, let's don't forget his benefits. Let's don't forget. I remember this boy right here, Michael. When the Lord healed him one time, and the saints prayed for him, and he was anointed and prayed for, when I saw the place 3 days later that had been there for about a year and a half, he was well, and he's been well ever since. It's a growth that the Lord did something with. I don't know what he did with it. He took care of it. I will tell you, oh, I can remember so many times. I remember when Matthew had such a high fever, And we had Brother Carl and Sister Rebecca over. Brother Carl will tell you this to this day. We had prayer and prayed for him, and the Spirit of the Lord came down, and we all felt the Spirit of the Lord. And when the amen was said, he was well. And you know what? There's a host of those kind of things that the Lord has done in many ways. Folks, let's don't let our memories fail us. that the Lord God of heaven. I remember my sister right there. Been married 10 years. Wanted a child. Began to fast and pray. Only fasted, a couple of days? And the Lord gave her a witness. I'm going to give you a child. Within a week, she was with child. After 10 years. Folks, I don't want to forget those things. Because sometimes we get tempted to forget. We get tempted to look back. What a mistake that is, to look back. Oh, listen. I remember in 2013 when I was so sick with thyroid illness that was so out of control that I missed 7 Sundays here ministering. And for a long time I was weak. But I want to tell you, the Lord did something. And I'm not on anything, and I didn't take anything to make it happen. The Lord our God, He fought for us, folks. I want to tell you, He'll fight for us. Let's don't forget all His benefits. Let's don't forget the many things. Listen to this. Who redeemeth thy life from destruction? Who crowneth... You ever thought about that? He redeemed your life from destruction. Who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies? Who can say the Lord hasn't done that? Has the Lord not been good to you and me? Who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles? You know, we have to remember this sometimes. Oh, the Lord, He renews, doesn't He? He makes it like new again. How does He do that? Because He's the Lord our God. He's the one that can do those things. 8. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. Hasn't the Lord been so? Slow to anger and plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide. He won't always get after us. Neither will He keep His anger forever. He may. Work with us a while. But He don't keep His anger forever, folks. Oh, He's merciful. He hath not dealt with us, listen to this, after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. I can remember back those things, but the Lord hadn't rewarded me that way. How about you? He could have. He could have snuffed our life out, couldn't He? For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is His mercy toward them that fear Him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath He removed our transgressions from us. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear Him. For He knoweth our frame. I was just thinking about this. I was using this the other day. He knows our frame. He knows our frame. He remembereth that we are dust. Did you know that? That's a benefit, folks. As for man, his days are as grass, as a flower of the field, so he flourisheth. For the wind passeth over it, and it is gone, and the place thereof shall know it no more. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear Him, and His righteousness unto children's children. All this morning, the Lord is that good to us, isn't it? Isn't He? I think about a man named Job. He could have cursed God and died, like his wife said to do. But he didn't do that, did he? He only blessed the Lord because he remembered. I don't know how Job was a man so strong, but he remembered. He remembered. He didn't allow the moment to cause him to curse God. He remembered. And you know what Job came out? He came out a better man. Job came out a richer man. Job came out a man that prayed for his enemies and the Lord healed him. You know, in Proverbs 4:25, I'm just going to read this quickly. Let thine eyes look right on, and let thine eyelids look straight before thee. Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand nor to the left. Remove thy feet from evil. And folks, I want to finish, I want to close, Lord willing, with this verse in Malachi 3. It's a beautiful, one of the most beautiful verses, I think, in the Bible. Malachi 3 and 16, listen to what it says. Then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another. They that feared the Lord spake often one to another. And the Lord hearkened and heard it. And a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon his name. I want to encourage us to go back in our life and think about the things that God has done for you and say them to someone else. I want to tell you, the Lord hearkened to this. And those that thought upon his name, he said a book of remembrance was written for them. I will say, not everybody is a writer, I know. I'm not a writer, but I have written many, many things in my notes, just personally. And you know, I can go back sometimes and open some of those books, and it seems as alive as the day I wrote it. It just seems that way. You know, I want to encourage us, if the Lord does something for you, jot it down. Because 20 years later, when you open that page and you see what God did for you, you say, the Lord is God. The Lord is God of my life. The Lord will not fail me. The Lord will take me through and he will help me. Oh, this morning, let's remember and speak of the good things of God. We surely cannot go wrong there. In fact, the Lord loves it as much as he hates complaining. Because he's not very fond of that. But I will tell you, a book of remembrance was written for those that thought on his name. And you know what they were thinking? They were thinking of his ways. They were thinking of the things God did for them. And they remembered those things. Forget not all his benefits this morning. And you pray for me, please.